from the book of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Quite a lengthy chapter that we'll be reading this morning, so there'll be I think some interesting things in this chapter, and probably will be some questions at the end of the study this morning, and we'll try to take time to give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. In this particular chapter, we're going to see the endeavor of a servant of Abraham as he goes and seeks a bride for Isaac. And certainly there are several types in this particular chapter and things of interest to us that I think will be an encouragement and help to us. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, or that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. The servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed to for my servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. It came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands of the 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man under the well, and it came to pass when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. He said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." We're looking at Genesis chapter 24 this morning, Steve. And Margie, Dorothy, came in late. Genesis 24. The man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet, the men's feet that were with him. There was set meat before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." He said, "Speak on." He said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men service and maid service, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. My master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son or the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son." And I said unto my master, "Peradventure the woman will not follow me." And he said unto me, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath." And I came this day into the well and said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin come forth to draw water, and I say unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. She shall say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's, or pointed out for my master's son." Before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, "Let me drink, I pray thee." She made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, "Drink, I will give thy camels drink also." So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. I asked her and said, "Whose daughter art thou?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him." I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me to in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Now if you shall deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, and the Lord, as the Lord has spoken." It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. The servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and remnant and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." They said, "We will call the damsel," and inquired her mouth. They called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." They sent away Rebekah, their sister, their nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them." Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehi-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, quite a lengthy reading here, but it's all one story, so we dare not try to divide it up and look at it in separate phases, but rather the whole story centers basically around the bride for Isaac. Abraham at this particular point, as the Bible tells us here, he's old, he's well stricken in age, or time has caught up with him. And so he will take then this servant, and this very well may be the Eliezer that he talked about earlier. That was a servant in his own house that he thought was going to be his heir. We don't really know. The servant remains unnamed, and rightfully so, for the sake of the type that is presented to us. But we have here a servant that Abraham trusts with everything that he has. That's a great trust that Abraham has in this particular man. And so he will then make him swear to him. As the hand under the thigh is a common sign of an oath that would be made and given. Let's cut that off. That may be the one that's doing it. No, I'll cut the cord that's off. Anyway, the servant will swear to Abraham that he will go and find a bride for his son Isaac. Abraham points out very specifically that he's not to take a bride from among the Canaanites. Now, the reason for that is that Abraham certainly understood the mind of God about this, that there was going to come a time of judgment upon the Canaanites. Remember, God had said to Abraham when he showed him the land, he said, "This is your land, I'll give it to your seed after you." But he said, "Your seed will be in bondage for 400 years, and then will I bring them out with a high hand, with a strong arm, and bring them to this place." And he said that the iniquity of the Canaanites is not yet full. In other words, Abraham understood the fact that God was just biding time and giving the Canaanites the space that they needed and the rope and the vernacular to long enough to hang themselves. In other words, he is going to allow them to live and for them certainly to prove themselves to be rebels against God. And consequently, there will come a time that God will say that their iniquity is full. He'll bring the children of Israel out of that bondage that they're in Egypt, bring them to the land, and when they go into it, he'll command them to not save anybody alive, not man, woman, or child, is to be saved alive because the iniquity of the Canaanites is full. So Abraham did not want that bloodline entered into his family. And so he commands the servant to go back to his homeland into Mesopotamia, back in, if you please, in the area of the Chaldees, to take a wife for his son Isaac and from among his kindred. And so the servant then will make the oath, but he asks a question, and rightfully so. He said, "What if they won't give me a wife for Isaac, and she won't be willing to follow?" And he said, "If you go and you seek and you present the truth, then you're free from this oath." He said, "Then the responsibility lies upon them." And he said, "Only make sure that you don't take my son back there and don't give him a daughter from among the Canaanites." And let me say, in digressing a moment, that honestly, as a servant of the Lord, it is our responsibility simply to tell people of Jesus Christ. Now, we do not have the ability to persuade people. I think we need to present the message clearly so that it's understandable. Hopefully, we'll have the enabling, the power of the Spirit of God upon us as we speak to souls, but you and I cannot believe for another. And our responsibility stops at the place where we have presented truth with all the clarity that we can. And then it lies upon the hearer to respond to the gospel. You see, the Bible speaks of that one who has hearing ears, let him hear what the Spirit would say. And then in regard to the church in the Revelation, it said, let
him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there is a responsibility with to have hearing ears or a willingness to listen to spiritual things. So this servant goes with the understanding that he has no power to persuade, nor he has no authority to take by force. In other words, there's no command here to take by force a wife from among Abraham's kindred. Now, there have been various groups that believe they can evangelize by force. The Muslims are a group that believe that they are commanded of God to go forth and to conquer and to make Muslims. That's not always just the case of somebody that is far removed from Christianity. The Roman Catholic Church actually gave Cortez authority, he being a devout Catholic, when he walked across Mexico. And he's quoted in saying this. After he had gone across Mexico, he took down the Aztec images and idols. He put up the various images of the Catholic Church. And when he got to the far side of Mexico, he said, "I've Christianized Mexico." And he had done it all, he thought, in force. But that's not the case. And so this servant has no right nor no authority to go and to snatch a bride and run off and take her back. And so it is that you and I cannot go out and coerce people into believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We simply can present the truth, the message that we've been given to carry, and then the responsibility lies upon the hearer. But this servant will go. Again, he's entrusted with everything that Abraham, his master, has. Now, let me say, and Isaac as well, because actually Abraham's given all unto Isaac. We'll find that out in the next chapter. That there are other sons that'll be dealt with, but they'll not be the inheritor as Isaac will. Now, there are types here. We do see a type of God the Father in Abraham. We also see a type of the Holy Spirit in the servant. And Isaac then certainly becomes a type of Christ. Now, they do not fit every area. Always understand that a type is literally that, a type. And it has points that of simile and similarity, but if you had every point completed, then you'd have the reality, not the type. So a type will always break down in some point or another. And so don't make more than there is of it, but don't overlook the things that are there that are precious to us. The first thing, the master Abraham is desiring a bride for his son Isaac. Now, there is a sense in which God the Father is desires and is taking a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the medium of reaching that bride and finding that bride today is the person of the Holy Spirit. Understand that salvation is of the Lord. We are simply instruments in the hands of God and co-laborers with Him. We always need to bear that in mind. But the servant, it remains unnamed. Remember what Jesus said of the Comforter that would come? He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall speak of Me. And any time there is a ministry that is constantly exalting the Holy Spirit, cannot be the ministry of God. For the Bible said that He would not speak of Himself, but He would exalt Christ. And so if you want to know the message and the ministry that is going to be the one that God has appointed, it's one that exalts Jesus Christ for all that He really is in His person. There are services where hardly the name of Jesus Christ will even be mentioned, but the Holy Ghost will be raised up again and again and again. Does not mean that we do not believe that the Holy Spirit is God, but He remains silent as to Himself. And as the servant here is unnamed, so he goes forth seeking a bride for Isaac, and how precious it is. We preached, I believe it was last Sunday on the new birth, as he goes forth sovereignly moving, drawing men not to himself in the sense that he is to be exalted, but to Jesus Christ, who is to be exalted. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we do see then the types here that are presented to us, and that precious working. We also see here a real treatise or a lesson on prayer this morning. Certainly, we cannot doubt the power of prayer as we read this particular passage this morning and see the effectual prayer of this servant. You'll notice that this servant, when he got to the place that he felt like he needed to stop. He turned to the Lord God of his master Abraham, and he said, I pray thee send me good speed today. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. And he then began to lay out conditions and ask God to give him the evidence that he's going to answer his prayer. And as Abraham had told him, he said, God will send his angel before thee. That ought to be comforting to us to know that when we go forth in the name of the Lord, that we're not going alone, but we go with the presence of one that is far greater than we are and that is far greater than anything that we'll ever encounter. And so the angel of the Lord goes before him, but he stops and he prays. And he lays out specific conditions. He said, I'm going to stop here by this well of water. And Lord, if you're going to prosper my way, when this woman comes by and I ask her if she's filled her pitcher with water, and the course of the common method of drawing water, carrying water was, actually this was a well that likely you could walk down into. Now the well where I grew up was about 4 feet across. It was rock laid on the side. Actually, as they dug it, they then rocked the sides of it, and we had an old a couple of logs across, and you had an old pulley on it, and you drew water. But a lot of times the well would be such that you could go down to it. We'd think more of it as a spring, but there'd be a pathway down to it. Draw the pitcher of water, she'd set it on her shoulder, and walk home with it. That's just the picture that we have here. And so Rebecca came out, and she went down to the well and drew her water. And then a very strange thing will occur. A stranger will walk up to her and ask for a drink of water. That would seem strange because the well's there, and he could have drawn a drink of water himself, but he'll ask her for a drink. And he said, if you're going to prosper my way, let her not only give me a drink, but then offer to draw water for the camels. And so he prayed, he laid down the conditions, and you'll notice in verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. In other words, God's already answering the prayer before he's even through praying. That's precious to me, because there's sometimes that we need help in a hurry. From our vantage point, I always understand from God's part that he never gets excited, he's never out of control, he's never anxious. But we are. So we have to look at it from our vantage point. And a lot of the doctrines that are precious to us and we hold dear, we sometimes consider them from God's standpoint, but we also have to look at it from where we are. Experientially, a lot of things go in our lives that God is never moved by. I mean, we may have one of the greatest storms in our lives that has ever occurred, we think, in the world. And it doesn't move God, doesn't change God. But it does us. And so it means something to me to find that there's instantaneous answer to prayer, and even the beginning of answer before we get through praying. Now, that's as fast as you're going to get service anywhere. The truth of the matter is that God already knows the need, and he's begun the work even before we start to pray. But it's evident here that God's going to answer this man's prayer, because the Bible said that before he had done speaking, before he was through praying, then Rebekah came out. And she came out, who was born unto Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. So we have the whole setting here that is correct. This is Abraham's kindred. And she's the right one, so apparently God's going to move in her heart and life. And Isaac's going to get a real bargain in this particular thing. You see, this is one of those arranged marriages that are still practiced in various countries of the world. Isaac will not know his bride before she gets there, and she'll not know him, except as the servant will tell him of her. Or tell her of him, rather, on the way. And she'll know everything she really needs to know, that she'll recognize Isaac by the time she gets there. But we'll deal with that in just a moment if we have time. But nonetheless, Rebekah, then in answer to this prayer that this servant has made, comes out and she has a pitcher to go into the well and draw water. And as I said, Isaac's going to get a bargain, for the Bible said the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. I mean, this is a commendable trait that we see in this particular person. And so God is preparing a bride for Isaac that is certainly going to be, in a sense, the type of the church today without spot or wrinkle. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. In other words, she came up out of the well. That's what he's saying here. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand. I mean, just a simple act, just bring it from her shoulder to her hand and gave him a drink. And she then hasted and emptied the pitcher into the trough after she told him that she had drank, draw water for his camels also, and she drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace. And the Bible said, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I suppose we see, on the other hand, in this servant attack, but also we see the human element that's involved here. I mean, everything is he'd asked for is there before him, and yet he's going to wait and see. Now, how many times have we done that? I mean, God is evidently led in this thing. I get amused when I think about it. I guess Steve and Paula, when they were to go to school, thought they'd lay out the conditions that the Lord couldn't meet. And so I told them, "Well, all right," I said, "pray about it." I said, "I believe the Lord's able to do what you need to do." And so they set the condition that from 1 week to the next, they'd have their house sold, closed on, and the money in hand. I think Steve thought that pretty well clinched it, that they wouldn't be going to school that fall. But lo and behold, the first thing, whenever the article hit the paper, a man within 2 hours called. He had just sold a house that he had financed with the same finance company, so they had all of his credit ready. Everything that he needed to qualify to assume the loan, and they closed on the thing immediately. And when it was all said and done, I turned to Paula and I said, "Well, now do you need to know anything else?" And she just shook her head and said, "No." Sometimes God answers in such a way, but we want to stand by and just see, make sure this is it, you know. I mean, heaven and earth been moved, so to speak. Here's a stranger. Walks up to a strange woman and asks for a drink of water. She gave it to him. Then she offered to draw for 10 camels. And for the men that were there. And everything that he had asked for was given to him. So he just stood by. And certainly the Lord did prosper his way. And answered his prayer. And after she had drawn water, then he took the earrings and the earring and the bracelets and put the earring upon her face or in her ear, and then upon the bracelets upon her hand. And then he asked whose daughter she was, and as it turns out, then he's found the right house, he's found the right maid, and he then asked about going to her home if they have a place. Now, we would think that's strange today, but it's not really strange in that day. The Ramada Inns were not very prevalent in that particular day. This was a common practice for folks to open their house to one and have a place. Usually there would be an understanding of some remuneration for it. And so we see this man as she's told him that there's plenty of straw and food, feed for the cattle or for the camels, and room to lodge in. And there's also a place for the men. And so the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he praised God for what he had done. I think it appropriate and right in answer to prayer. We try to on Wednesday night always to give opportunity to praise the Lord, bless God for answered prayer, and we ought to do that. I mean, it's right when God does answer that we give thanks for what he's done for us. And so he blessed, said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And so the damsel runs and tells her mother. And then we're introduced to Laban. There's a hint of how Laban is, and we'll find out a whole lot more about him. Jacob will learn a great deal from his uncle Laban later on. But just the first thing we see about Laban is that whenever Rebekah came into the house and told what had happened, and I'm sure that Laban saw the earring and the bracelets. And he runs out to the man and said, "I've already made the house ready." Do you think he really cared about the stranger? No, he cared about the earring and the bracelet. That's Laban for you. And you'll be introduced to him as we go through the book of Genesis later on. Laban has an eye for a bargain and a deal. He'll have an eye open, and he'll give Jacob some lessons he won't ever forget about transactions and business. And there's some folks can give you the business, like Laban can. And this man, we're introduced to him. And he then brings the fellow in. And by the way, he was compensated. I think probably the servant saw through him immediately, but he did give him a measure after he's heaped the treasure upon Rebekah, gave to her mother. And then also he'll give to Laban. But nonetheless, we're introduced to the brother Laban. And the man came into the house, and they fed the livestock and put meats, actually food before him, and he said, "I won't eat until I've told mine errand." In other words, he has the burden of responsibility that is upon him. Now, I am persuaded that God has to give a burden, but when God has given a burden upon us, we need to comply and fulfill that burden that the Lord's given us. Jeremiah was called to preach, and he decided he'd quit. And so he did, but he said, I couldn't hold my peace any longer. He said, I just couldn't stay silent. He said, it burned in my bones. Sometimes there's things that transpire in our lives that we have to do. I wish I could remember the name of the preacher. I read his life story to a degree. He was preaching the New England states. He went out by horseback and rode circuit and preached. He had such a burden for souls that when he come in from his circuit from preaching, he had unsaddled the horse, and he didn't just wrap himself in the saddle blanket and fall on his face and pray. One night he almost froze to death because he literally was so tired he went to sleep afterwards. But he had such a burden for souls that he wouldn't even look at rest until he had prayed again and asked God to bless. And here, this man said, I won't eat until I've told my errand. And then he tells him the story of Abraham and the story of Isaac. And no greater story to tell than of God and his precious son. And if we tell that story, then we certainly ought to expect things to occur. But the story is related. And he said, I come for a bride. And we find that the father and, of course, Laban will say, take her. This is from the Lord. We can't change that. The man then, after the night's rest, after eating and the night's rest, he said, send me away, although I don't want to go now. They wanted her to Rebekah to hang around for 10 days, in other words, as a point of celebration. But he said, don't hinder me. Turn him loose. Say, Lord, I've come. My mission's been fulfilled. God's blessed. And it's time to go. And so they asked Rebekah if she'd go. And she said, I will go. And we see the response. And then the story as we go along the way. We have a lot, I think, that's left unsaid here that we can certainly infer. What do you think that the servant was talking to Rebekah about all the way back home? I mean, this was not just an overnight journey. This was quite an extended journey that is taken here. And all of the way, this servant would be telling Rebekah exactly what she needed to know about Isaac so that whenever she came, she could be the wife that she ought to be to Isaac. And while we're here on earth, it's not any wonder that God has given the commission to His church to teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do you see how we rob people if we don't tell them the whole truth? Because whenever they're brought into the presence of Jesus Christ, they need to know everything they can know about Him who loved them and died for them. And so while on the way, John said, we have an anointing, the Spirit of God Himself, to teach us along the way. And then God will hopefully give us some godly men to teach us as well as we walk this pilgrim's way. But on the way then, when it came to the encounter, Isaac is out in the field in the eventide to meditate, and he sees the camels coming. Rebekah then saw the man out in the field and said, who is it? And the servant said, it's Isaac. And then she appropriately dressed and met him, and there was instantaneous love. You ask me, does an arranged marriage work? Yes, it'll work. I don't know how, except to believe in the sovereignty of God, that it will work. I asked Ed Coffey about his. His was arranged, and I said, how did it work? He said, it works, and I've got a good wife. He's content, and I'm content for him. It probably would not work in our society nearly as well, because we oftentimes demand our rights and our freedoms, but there are still societies where their marriages are arranged, and they work out. And in this particular case, the Bible tells us that she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so we find God, as he takes and blesses Isaac with the bride that is needed and rightfully his, appointed of the Lord to carry on, and then we'll see a great host of people that will come out of this union.